Answers for skeptics. When we're involved in evangelism on the streets, we need to be able to answer skeptics. The motto of the scouts is be prepared. Similarly, we as Christians should be prepared to answer those who would ask us to explain what we believe and why we believe. We exhorted in Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Contend, fight, strive for the faith. The Apostle Paul declared that he had been appointed for the defense of the gospel. Philippians 1, verse 17. We also warned, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. So, you see, there's a difference between quarreling and correcting. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So 2 Timothy 2 makes it clear a lot of what we're doing is spiritual warfare. We are involved in trying to bring every argument raised against knowledge of God into captivity to obey Christ. We're trying to correct. We're trying to reason. We're commanded to study to show ourselves approved unto God, to study the Word of God. And that's what we're trying to do here at this Great Commission course, to contend for the faith and to patiently teach and correct those who are in opposition. There's so much that you need to correct. There's so much brainwashing, but we can do it step by step, piece by piece. If God will perhaps grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil because they've been taken captive by Satan to do his will. We're involved in a world war of worldviews, and the battle for the mind is at the very heart of this war. It's a battle for truth. Notice the first piece of armor, John, that Joseph was speaking about this morning in devotions, the belt of truth. Put on the belt of truth. That's the first piece of armor is truth. We need to know the Word of God, and we need to know God's work so that we can give carefully reasoned answers to those who are challenging the Christian faith. Some of them are honest skeptics who are genuinely looking for answers, and we need to patiently answer them, remembering that we sometimes took years to come to convictions we now hold. I was brought up in a non-Christian family. First time I heard the gospel was age 17, and even though I was saved, I still had a lot of very weird ideas, which took years in some cases to be rectified. Although I must say, I would have loved to have come to a course like this and been confronted a lot of the facts and details that we might take for granted. But nevertheless, there's a process. We're involved in an adventure of discipleship. So there's a book I wrote, Answering Skeptics, which tackles 14 case studies, different challenging questions people ask, which I've honed questions for over the years. First question, what about hypocrites in the church? I'm sure this has been coming up in your mind. I'm sure you've heard it in the streets. And when you've been watching Call for Discernment videos from Justin Peters, you're thinking, what about all the hypocrites? Have you ever heard this? I could never become a Christian. Look at all the hypocrites in the church. Look at all the scandals of televangelists and the health and wealth preachers, the name it, claim it, and frame it. Hyper-faith prosperity preachers, these two-faced frauds, these con men. I don't want to be part of hypocrisy. And who can blame them if they think like that? But we need to point out, God is more offended by hypocrisy than you are. The Bible contains the greatest condemnations of hypocrisy ever recorded. The Apostle Paul wrote about false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no wonder. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Paul also wrote of false brethren secretly brought in. The Apostle Peter taught that we to lay aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. The writer of the book of Hebrews exhorts us to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Our Lord Jesus Christ exposed and condemned hypocrisy most famously in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 23 records our Lord's devastating condemnation of hypocrisy. All their works they do to be seen by men. Woe to you, hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses. Hypocrites, you make him twice as much the son of hell as you yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, fools and blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel, full of extortion and self-indulgence. Woe to you, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Now, these are just a few verses out of the most unrelenting attack on hypocrisy in Matthew 23. God clearly demands honesty and sincerity. Our yes should be yes, and our no should be no. Hypocrisy is consistently condemned throughout Scripture. Now, there are, of course, hypocrites and charlatans in the medical profession too, who violate the Hippocratic Oath to give an abortifacient to a pregnant woman. They swear in the Hippocratic Oath never to give an abortifacient to a pregnant woman, but many do. They swear never to do any harm to a patient, and yet how many do? There are innumerable scandals of organ harvesting from prisoners in China to provide kidneys, livers, hearts for transplant to patients willing to pay enough. People fly to China and they will whip hearts, livers, lungs, whatever they need, out their kidneys and so on, out of probably a Christian in a concentration camp who's specifically prepared for harvesting. They don't bother to sew them up again, they just die. They're there just to be harvested for the benefit of people willing to pay enough to do that. Organ harvesting happens in the West, but it's a total industry in the East. There are doctors who kill babies through abortion. Millions of babies are killed through abortion. They've just brought out a film on one of them, Gosnell, in America, America's biggest serial killer, who killed thousands and thousands of babies. You know, your baby is formed so finely at just 3 weeks after conception, the heartbeat can be measured. At 6 weeks, the brainwave can be measured. At 9 weeks, they've even got the fingerprints organized. So it's just extraordinary. Every abortion stops a beating heart. And yet you see these so-called doctors advertising illegal abortions, 100% guaranteed, safe and pain-free. Safe and pain-free. Lies. Doctors kill old people through euthanasia, including thousands of people are killed every year in Belgium and Netherlands legally by state doctors. In thousands of cases, the patient didn't ask for it, and neither did a relative. In thousands of cases, state doctors who paid by the state arbitrarily themselves just chose to euthanize the patient without even the patient or their relatives requesting it. I mean, these people are just murderers. State-employed hitmen. However, none of us should allow the presence of tens of thousands of hypocrites in the medical profession to stop us from going to trusted doctors and dentists when we are ill. There are many counterfeit banknotes, but that doesn't stop any of us from using genuine banknotes. I mean, people don't say, I don't want any money because there's counterfeits out there. Well, yes, there are counterfeits. Check that this is real. And we've got a lot of counterfeit 200 Rand notes out there, but you must just check it. You're not going to reject the true just because there's counterfeits out there. We've heard of reports of hamburgers contaminated with, amongst other things, the E. coli virus, but people still want real hamburgers. The church is not perfect, but Jesus Christ is perfect. Jesus Christ, probably the only person who perfectly lived what he preached. He said what he meant what he said. He did all that he promised, and he perfectly lived up to God's standards of righteousness. You can point out many failings, even frauds in the established church. However, nobody could ever point out any such failure or fraud in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not calling people to trust in the church. We're calling people to trust in Christ. Typically, hypocrisy in the church is used as an excuse for not repenting of our sins or surrendering our lives to Christ. By pointing to the sins of others, we try to justify our own sins. There's some kind of sick sense of satisfaction when we see somebody behaving worse than ourselves. Because, well, look at that. And then there's sort of a feeling that by dragging that person down, I've somehow lifted myself up. But the standard isn't other people, the standard's Christ. It needs to be pointed out that not everyone who attends church services is a real Christian. Many have no saving knowledge of Christ, no relationship with God. But the true church consists of born-again believers, regenerated by God's Holy Spirit. By definition, to be a Christian, you have to admit that you're a sinner and that you're not good enough for heaven. So what other institution in the world requires people to admit that they are actually wicked, wretched people? By virtue of being Christian, you've had to acknowledge your sinfulness and your depravity, that you deserve the wrath of God in hell forever. By definition, you shouldn't be able to call yourself a Christian unless you accept that you deserve hell. The Christian church requires a public acknowledgement of sin as a condition for membership. The very ordinances of the church make this clear. Baptism is for the forgiveness of sin, symbolizing burial and resurrection. You die to the old life, you're born again to new life. The Lord's Supper reinforces this, emphasizing we sinners, needing God's mercy and salvation by blood atonement. The Lord's Prayer includes a petition to forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. The Apostles' Creed includes the forgiveness of sins. So, perhaps the least hypocritical people on the planet would be Christians, because Christians have to acknowledge their sinfulness. The regular reading of the Ten Commandments in our churches reminds us of God's standards and how we have failed. The general supplication, other aspects of church litany used throughout the centuries and millenniums in church worship, emphasize the public acknowledgement of sin and pleas for God's mercy. The church has never claimed to be a fellowship of perfect people. If they did, that would be hypocritical. The church is a fellowship of sinners who acknowledge their complete dependence upon the mercy of Almighty God to forgive and transform them. That is what grace means, God's undeserved favor. God's riches at Christ's expense. The Apostle Paul claimed to be the worst of sinners. Authentic Christians claim to be so bad that they deserve to be sentenced to hell forever. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. John Newton's popular hymn acknowledges that he's a wretch. It may be a good thing that there are hypocrites in the church, though, because they may hear the gospel, repent of the hypocrisy, and be saved. We don't criticize hospitals for being full of sick people. That's exactly what hospitals are built for. Nowhere will you find more consistent condemnation of hypocrisy than in the Bible. No one condemned hypocrisy more effectively than Jesus Christ. No one lived a more sincere and righteous life than our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is not logical to use the existence of hypocrites in the church as an excuse to reject Jesus Christ. No one could ever accuse Jesus Christ of being a hypocrite. If you allow a hypocrite to come between you and God, then the hypocrite's closer to God than you are. And remember our Lord's testimony of the two men who went up the temple to pray. The one was a religious leader. The other was a tax collector. The religious leader prayed to himself, saying, I thank you, God, I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I give one tenth of my income to the poor. But the wretched tax collector just couldn't even lift his eyes towards heaven. He beat his chest, saying, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And he is the one whose prayer was answered. And he is the one who left in a right standing with God, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you boycott church because you hate hypocrisy, then you could end up spending all eternity with all the hypocrites in hell. That's one thing you could say to a person is, what about all the hypocrites? Well, they're going to hell. Are you going to go with them? Are you going to allow a hypocrite to get between you and God? Then the hypocrite's even closer to God than you are. There's a lot of hypocrisy in this world. Islam claims to be a peaceful and tolerant religion, while many of its members declare jihad. issue death threats, murder and mutilate vast amounts of people in the name of their religion of peace. Newspaper editors claim to stand for freedom of speech while censoring pro-life obituaries. Do you know, our mission has, for the last 28 years, been organizing marches for life, life chains, pro-life prayer vigils outside Parliament, placard protest. And every year since they legalized abortion, since Mandela legalized abortion the 1st of February 1997, we have been putting pro-life obituaries in newspaper obituary columns. And do you know, newspapers like the Argus and the Cape Times refuse to put our pro-life obituaries into the death columns. Now, the Burger and the Citizen have never minded. Actually, even the Tell Witness and Daily Mail in upcountry, they haven't minded. But the Cape Town Argus and the Cape Times have never allowed any of our pro-life obituaries, paid for obituaries, to go into the obituaries. And amongst the different arguments they use is, we can't put in because it must have a name. And I said, no, that's because we say, in memory of all babies who've been killed through abortion since legalization abortion 1 February 1997. And I've said, I'm member of the Moths. We put in 11th of November in newspapers, and you've got no problem saying, in memory of all soldiers who died in the wars. You don't need name. You've got under births a basically congratulations from a Baby City, which is to all mothers and for all babies born and so on. They put general congratulations basically as, I suppose, it's an advertising method also for the baby shop. And yet they won't allow us to put in an obituary for all babies killed by abortion. In fact, they said, but they're not really killed. And said, yes, they are. They are killed. And I said, no, well, if you said fetuses terminated by medical procedure or something. He said, no, it's killed by abortion. That's the fact. And so all the arguing that we've had, these newspaper editors are hypocrites. They will put in adverts for brothels. They will put in adverts for abortionists, but they will not put in an obituary for babies killed by abortion. So these newspaper editors are hypocrites. They claim all the news that's fit to preach without fear or favor is the banner of some newspapers. Talk about hypocrites. Pathological liars. And so we need to make a stand. We need to call the people back that in God's court, abortion is murder. Communists condemn oppression and uphold themselves as liberators and champions of justice, while communist regimes have been the most oppressive in all of history. No other regimes have imprisoned as many millions of people, executed as many tens of millions of victims, deliberately starved so many tens of millions of people, erected such huge institutions of oppression, employed more secret police, imprisoned whole nations behind an iron curtain of barbed wire minefields, electric fencing, and machine gun towers stretching for thousands of kilometers across Europe, from Stettin in the north down to Trieste in the south. The Iron Lady had this to say about the Berlin Wall. The Berlin Wall stands as concrete proof that when people have a choice, they choose to be free. Freedom has its problems, but we've never needed to build walls to keep our people in. Communists are hypocrites. Just in the 20th century alone, over 160 million people were murdered by communist governments, even while they proclaimed to be devoted to world peace. There cannot be a bigger bunch of hypocrites on the planet than the communists. The African Union continually talks about democracy and human rights, while the vast majority of government leaders represent that OAU are dictators, mass murdering pathological dictators who tie their people up like this poor soul in Sierra Leone to shoot them in the name of freedom, awarding themselves medals for doing absolutely nothing. Like this corporal who made himself a field marshal and all sorts of other things like that while he murdered Christians. Or this man ran the poorest country in Africa, Central African Republic, and had a coronation ceremony called, declared himself Emperor of the Central African Empire with a coronation ceremony that cost more than the entire national gross domestic product. And of course, people like Idi Amin, even while butchering Christians, eating his archbishop and massacring people at 100,000, he was made chairman of the Organization of African Unity. Talk about hypocrites. Charles Taylor, an American Negro, who went to Liberia to oppress the Africans there, chopping off the hands and all the rest of it and so on, not allowing anyone but someone of American Negroid descent to have any office in Liberia, which was meant to be a place of liberty. And the 10% of the population of American Negroid descent were colonizing, oppressing, exploiting, and enslaving the 90% of African-born people there in a scandal that no newspaper or film has ever dared to deal with. Charles Taylor was a war criminal. Many in our own country condemn racism while consistently supporting the most racist regime on the continent, Robert Mugabe, ZANU-PF in Zimbabwe, who would get standing ovations. And at UN and Organization of African Unity events, while entire herds of elephants were being slaughtered by helicopter gunships in Zimbabwe and thousands of tons of ivory shipped to China in exchange for weapons and blood diamonds, people literally having their hands chopped off by Mugabe's presidential guard for trying to steal or do their own mining of the Mereng diamond fields in southeastern Zimbabwe, all of which had to go to China to pay for the tanks and the jet fighters that China was providing Zimbabwe. Who cares about Zimbabwe's blood diamonds? In fact, they are really a quarter of the world's production of diamonds today, and none of the money goes into the Zimbabwe treasury for the people. It's all gone to personal pockets of Mugabe and Mnangagwa and the Chinese. Humanists claim to stand for tolerance, yet they're thoroughly intolerant of evangelical Christians. Humanists champion diversity and pluralism, yet they work steadfastly to exclude Christian views from the public sphere. Yeah, this chap is arrogant. If Jesus returns, kill him again. Yeah, well, when Jesus returns, this creep will be pleading for the mountains to fall on me. He'd prefer to be buried under an avalanche and to face the wrath of the Lamb. Teachers who believe in the sanctity of marriage are expected to go against their own conscience to teach their students situation ethics and perverse alternative lifestyles. Evolutionists who claim to be for freedom of speech regularly ban any dissension or discussion and fire those scientists who question Darwinian evolutionism or who seem to consider intelligent design. The fact is, humanism is the most destructive religion of all time, and it's the most intolerant religion of all time. Even amidst the original 12 disciples of Christ, there was Judas, the ultimate hypocrite and traitor. Yet that has not stopped millions of Christians throughout the ages from finding grace and peace at the foot of the cross. If you have been let down or betrayed by a professing Christian, do not let that come between you and God. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Many people despise and reject what they think is Christianity when what they're merely rejecting is the hypocritical churchianity that our Lord Jesus Christ himself rejected and condemned. Do not let the counterfeit and the false and the fake keep you away from the genuine and the real. So that's just one chapter in the Answering Skeptics book. Any questions? Any comments? Yes, or any complaints for that matter?
Oh, I was hoping we would come to into more depth with the Big Bang and the evolution.
Oh, we'll get there too. Yes. Evidences for skeptics and so on. I mean, it's just one argument. What about all hypocrites in the church?
But, yes, I was trying to say that, are there sometimes right to say that Christians, the hypocritical Christians, like they don't come, they don't, like some atheists, and they're right to say that they don't want to become Christians because Christians are hypocrites? Like, I mean, we're meant to.
To the glory of
God, right?
Yes.
We meant to let people glorify God through us by our
characters. Yes, but the thing is, nobody's condemned hypocrisy more than our Lord Jesus Christ. So if people are complaining about the hypocrites, we can say, well, Jesus hates hypocrites more than you do. The Bible condemns hypocrites far more eloquently than you ever could condemn it. So, you know, if a person wants to try and bring an hypocrisy that they see in the established church as a reason why they shouldn't accept real Christianity, we've got to point out that's inconsistent, because there's so much hypocrisy in the medical profession, the political profession, all areas, why is it that they're just picking on the church's hypocrisy? Because those hypocrites are condemned by Christ. They're going to be consumed in hell forever. So if a person doesn't want to come to Christ because of hypocrites, well, then they can spend all eternity with the hypocrites in hell. And we just got to communicate this. Basically, it's a judo throw. You take their momentum and use it against them to propel them into a wall of reality.
You can also use this with people asking about the crusades. You'd be informed about it, but they cannot use it as an example. Why not?
Yes, exactly. Any other questions, comments?
I just actually wanted to share my frustration about something that happened in school, in English class actually. The teacher would use very relevant topics to discuss in class. One of them was euthanasia, and she said we should write a letter to the parents or something that basically just gives our viewpoint on it. And I was the only one that said that euthanasia is a human right, what do you call it? Scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And then she looked at me and she asked me to explain. So I told her that
it's a violation of
human rights.
Yes.
And then I said, told her about a scenario. So what if it's legal, if a mom wants to basically commit suicide and she wants to be euthanized, she's taking the child's right of having a mother away. Mm. And then she just thought about it and then she said, the next day, she told me, I don't think you can say that, you can have that heading. And she didn't say why, she just told me that it might not work or that it's not going to be accepted. But she asked us to give our viewpoint, so it was very, very
what they meant was for you to give a secular humanist viewpoint, yes, not a Christian viewpoint. Yeah.